now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Summer's on the way, but we're still here to say it's Shout Out.
Yes, she's Steffi Barnett and I'm Andy Shilton. And today on the show,
Freedom Youth.
Yes, our old folks will be catching up with them, their young'uns.
And the mystery that is history.
All coming today right here on Shout Out with another instalment from Ella. I put that around the wrong way, didn't I? Never mind. Go on, what's that?
Queer as Folk.
Yeah. You remember we were talking about it?
I bet you ain't going to play all of it, are you?
Well, it's a backing track, so...
Okay.
If you want the 60 minutes of it, it might be here for a little while.
Okay. Have you got the proper audio track?
Not with me today, no. But there's a very good reason for that. We're doing a little bit of a tribute.
We're controlled by Ofcom.
In the music that we're playing today. So, and podcast people don't get the music anyway, so...
Yeah. Well done with the script.
It was impressive
until we got to the last line, and then you nicked some of mine.
Yeah, sorry. I was supposed to say... what was I supposed to say? Ella is back with another instalment, and then you were going to do the All Coming Today.
All Coming Today, right here on Shout Out.
Stop
there you
the
go.
Argument.
Now we can start the show again.
Yeah, so... Anyway, hello.
Are you okay?
I am good, yes. I'm liking the fact it's nearly summer.
Well, it's nearly
this is summer, isn't it?
So, hello, Tara.
Hello.
I think we missed it, actually, didn't we? About 4 weeks ago, we have a day that was over 20 degrees, beautiful sunshine. That was it.
It's lovely at the moment to go out and have a lunch outside on a bench. It's just lovely.
What we know today? It's Tuesday, it was 20 degrees, pure sunshine. It was gorgeous.
It was.
Yeah.
Yeah, really nice day. Humid today, then.
Humid.
Very humid.
Yeah, well, it's going to thunder later. So I can't believe we are actually talking about the weather.
That's so British.
It is.
It's what we do.
Oh, it's getting too hot. I can't cope. Yeah. That's usually what happens when it gets hot, isn't it?
We must apologise for the listeners who listen on other stations on Friday and Saturday because the weather's probably going to be completely
crap. Maybe just crap. It's supposed to be on the downturn.
We haven't actually listed all the stations in a little while. Do you want to do the honours?
Froome FM is at 96.6, Glastonbury 107.1, BSR 103.4, obviously BCFM, where we're broadcasting from, 96.3, and DAB. Base Radio on Fridays at 9.
We're 93.2.
We are. What did I say?
96 point something, I think.
No, that was... No, didn't I say... That was Froome, isn't it?
Froome is 96.6,
yeah. And Glastonbury's 107.1.
And BSR?
BSR is 103.4. BCFM is 93.2. And DAB.
Yeah.
And we're also on Base Radio on Friday at 9. And Bradley Stoke FM take us on Saturday at 10.
Yeah. And on the wonderful iTunes and other podcast services. As well.
Yes, so. Available 1 hour after the show.
Yeah, if
you're lucky.
Enough,
approximately.
So, yes. Now, did you see the new Robert Miles has passed
away? I know.
Away.
He was one
Only
of my favourites.
Only 47. Yeah.
I know. That's crazy. Yeah, born in Switzerland, Italian immigrants.
Fascinating story behind, because in Italy, they in the 90s, apparently, they were having issues with people getting so hyped up going to clubs because the music was really like energetic and fast-paced, far faster than we usually have it here in the clubs. And they were leaving the clubs and having horrific accidents driving. So he wrote the song Children as an end of night, calm everyone down. And what we don't hear in the radio edit that you hear over here is it actually starts with a big thunderstorm. And then after the thunderstorm's been going for like 30 seconds, it then kicks in with the piano that we all know and love.
Yeah.
And apparently it had a massive effect in Italy in reducing the death rate through driving.
Well, the way they drive.
Yeah. I've never been to Italy, so I can't really cover it.
Well, they've settled down in the north, but if you're a bit scared of driving, then don't go south of Rome.
Or crossing the road, even. Sorry.
You just run fast.
Yeah, you just pray and it'll hit you.
I thought it was Germany where they drive really, really quick, because it's nice.
No, they drive quick in Germany.
Very good and controlled.
Yes.
Oh, right.
Yes.
That's German efficiency for you, I suppose, isn't it?
Well, you've got to have some sort of skill if you're driving 130, 150 miles an hour to work every day.
Yeah.
I couldn't do that.
stresses you, does it?
I would like to be in the car doing 130. No, it doesn't do 130.
You notice that you're doing 130, but then
you put your hand out the window, you take
beamers, off. You don't open the window.
Oh, let me guess, aircon, darling.
Not at those speeds. But you get the Mercs and Beamers overtaking you. They must be doing 150.
They're flashing the lights as they come up behind you because you're too slow. Doing 100.
It's very strange that the Brits think 100 is fast, and yet mums are taking their kids to school cruising at 130
in Germany. I don't know. I know that the speed limit in the UK was introduced because they someone Suez took a racing car.
E-Tech Jag, wasn't it?
No, it was the
M1.
No, it was the Suez crisis in the 70s when we were short of fuel and they lowered the speed limit to save fuel. And nobody ever put it up. So the motorway speed limit was not introduced for safety reasons, but to save fuel.
Now, that's interesting because I thought when they did it for that, they put it in at 50 because 56 was the perfect driving.
No.
I think it depends on the car, because different cars are set to I was always told it was because
someone took a racing car and drove it up the M1 at 100 and something, and we ought really to put a...
That was E-types, but they used to do that anyway. But the reason the speed limit's put at 70 was the Suez crisis. That's why this country has an anomaly that unrestricted dual carriageways that are 70 has the same speed limit as the motorways, which have no pedestrians, no crossings, no traffic lights.
But most of them are changing, as we said. I mean, the M32 is an M and it's 40.
Yeah, the bottom end.
Well, it's variable speed limits, isn't it? That's what they're coming to, so they can cram the cars in closer.
Yes.
I mean, that's what it's
designed to. 10,000 people in a week, that.
Well, can you imagine the money it made?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Anyway, should we talk about something a bit more cheery? Like some events, shall we?
Yes.
So this week with our pick of the best is Tara. Well, what are we doing this week? I normally have it in my notes.
Sorry, I've just run in and kind of grabbed a few options tonight. And one of the first ones was Out to Shout, fundraiser for Chechen queers.
Out to Shout.
So, you know, it keeps with the theme really. So on the 12th, Out to Shout, fundraiser for Chechen queers is happening at 7:30 to 11 p.m.
Cool, what's that?
Roll for Soul, Bristol Community Bike Cafe, 2K Street, Bristol.
Cool.
And it's £5 on the door.
Oh, that's good news. Yeah, so I did think it was good to see that Angela Merkel, isn't it? She had words with Putin and he's actually doing something now.
Yeah, she's pretty powerful.
Well, you say that, but the BBC were reporting that three people handing a protest.
Yeah, they got arrested.
Got arrested before they could even hand in this signed document.
For was it propagating?
We've still got fights to go.
Well, they didn't
We've
have permission.
Still got fights to
say,
do.
Yeah.
And how on earth do you need permission to hand it? Oh my, Russia, what am I talking about? Anyway, £5
on the door, on the night. So there's various different bands on, and it's really going to have some fun and actually just helped contribute. So that was just a quickie, really, for that one. We've then got Hush. It's on the 12th.
Yes.
It's a girls' nightclub. It's a LGBT...
I think it's a girls' club night.
Yeah, LBTQ.
Nightclub.
Yeah, so it's club night, yeah. So that's the girls hijack the club. There's tickets on Eventbrite, and the night is Welcome to Hush, the biggest lesbian LGBT a night outside London. Every quarter, the girls hijack the Queen's Shilling for a night of flirts, friends, laughter, and unstoppable tunes. It's a really good night, actually.
Have you been?
I quite enjoy it.
Cool. Yeah. I know they team up with the lot for members around Christmas and do a big job.
And I like
together,
the music as well. The music's pretty good. Maybe I quite like music in Queen Chillin anyway, so it's always a good place to have a good dance. You know? So that is £6 on the door or £5 advance. Okay. Which brings me on to their other thing, which is the Share the Moon. So they've got a camping event coming up.
Who?
The Indigo Network.
Got a camp event coming up. So they've got it on their website. It's called Share the Moon. It's Friday the 16th to Sunday the 18th of June at Fernhill. And you pitch your tent up and you have a jolly good time. Yeah, so they've got an arrival session. They've got friends solo zone. They've got handcrafted hall. They've got a bar. What more do you want, really? Live music, evening entertainment. And there's,
well, hopefully some warmth and sunshine. That'd be nice, well, if you're out in a tent.
You yes. kind of hope. Is it before the schools leave? I mean, that's the key, really. If the schools are still in, you've got hope, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Should be okay. Yeah. So, and that is, so the tickets are, they're on the website, and they range at, now let's see, Super Advanced, £47, Sunday Breakfast, £5. There's a veggie option or a meat option. Under 16s are £15, under 5s are free. And they've got a Saturday evening non-camping option of £14 plus an admin fee.
Cool.
Yeah. So that, and I was also cornered just before I came in to just mention Young People's Festival of Ideas, Guide to being an Activist. So some of our members here are actually contributing and helping do that. So that's on Wednesday the 17th of May, 7 p.m. till 8:30 p.m. It's free to go. And it's all about Young People's Festival of Ideas and exploring activism in all its forms. So that's from street closures in your local neighbourhood to organising full-scale marches down Park Street. And it's getting people involved in the community and actually standing up for their rights. So I feel that's quite an important thing nowadays, you know?
Yes, agreed.
So, yeah, so that's it, the Arnold Feeney.
So I like the Arnold Feeney. They've redone their logo thing on the front by the water.
Yeah, they've done
it. It's all colourful and, yeah.
Yes, nice place.
Cool.
Yes, easily pleased, don't you?
I know, yeah.
Well, you've got to me sometimes. You're a happy person, then.
Yeah. Push the button.
Push the button. All right. Thank you, Tara.
That's all right. Thank you.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
Now, of course, as we did say, Robert Miles did pass away. I think it was yesterday, day before, very sadly. And we thought we'd do a little bit of tribute to him, because this next song that we're going to play is called One and One. And it's very special to me because it was a song that was playing the first time I ever admitted to anyone in the world that I was gay. And, of course, it was in the charts at the time. So it has a lot of meaning. Wow. So have a listen to this.
The Shout Out Podcast.
There you go. That's Robert Miles in One and One. So it
lovely.
Does. It was playing, like I said, when I was 18. First time I ever told anyone I was gay.
I can't even remember you that age.
You didn't know me that age.
I just said I can't imagine you being that age.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah, I had hair back then. It was...
I've seen photographs. I've seen the proof that you were once 18.
No. I've got a few other ones. I've got some Sash coming up later as well, because that was all kind of playing at that
this
time.
This takes me. This is Robert Miles and Sash.
I've got children in for
that's
later.
When H&H was on Gloss FM before I made it go bust.
You made it go bust?
Well, I was on the station, it went bust.
Oh, right. Please don't do that to us. So, anyway, talking of being youth, I'm feeling very old because I'm looking over the other side of the studio. It's rather young people. Should we go through you in turn, let you introduce yourselves?
Hello, I am Phoenix, and I use he, them pronouns.
I'm Jamie, she, her.
Hi, I'm Ree, she, her.
Hi, I'm Henry from Freedom Youth, and I use he, him pronouns.
So, hello, welcome to you all. Now, I think we've had some of you on before, haven't we? I'm sure you and I have had long chats on it before.
We definitely have.
Can I just ask what pronoun you're using, seeing as we're sharing?
Me?
Yeah.
What, you say
you usually respond to most things. Yeah, let's not worry about it. Just say, oi, you. That's Andy's pronoun, oi, you.
Let's kick off, because we're well used to talking to you from Freedom Youth, but as always, there will be some listeners out there that will be going, what's Freedom Youth? What is Freedom Youth? Who would like to tell me what Freedom Youth is? Oh, don't all be shy.
Freedom Youth is a youth group based in Bristol that supports LGBT youth from the ages of 13 to 25. There are two groups that are currently running, the 13 to 19 and the 19 plus group, and they are run by Off the Record, which is a mental health charity.
So now, am I correct that the two groups is a newer thing though, isn't it? I'm sure last time we spoke to you, it was still just the one, or am I remembering wrong?
Well, you're right in that, so Freedom has kind of grown exponentially.
Which is great.
Yeah, definitely. So we've kind of created the two new spaces. So the 19 plus group's been in existence since September.
Oh, fab.
Right, Henry, the 4YP, where does that come in? Because that's a national thing, isn't it? Is that like an umbrella organisation above both of those?
Yeah, so 4YP is a really good listings website. So if you are a young person or you are working with young people, 4YP Bristol is basically like a kind of website that lists all the services that are available to young people across Bristol and South Gloss.
Cool. Now, can we ask, I think I'm going to ask these because I know I've asked you before, but can you give me some ideas of the kind of things you get up to when you're at Freedom Youth and what it is you like about it?
So we do a lot of fun, creative things like colouring and drawing. We recently had, I think it was Sing Out Bristol.
Oh, with the choir?
Yeah, with the choir. And that was good fun, actually. That was interesting because I wasn't actually expecting it. That was actually really good fun. It's not something I'd usually do. And we also...
did you get to sing as well, did you?
Yeah, we all just sort of like joined in and did a choir performance.
Oh, amazing.
With no preparation work. So that was cool, actually. It was really good fun.
So they're really good. I think they just had their concert as well, singing it, haven't they?
Yes.
Yeah. Which I think was up at St George's, which is acoustically gorgeous. I think it totally sold out. So I don't know if any of you managed to see it, did you?
Massive big thanks to Sing Out Bristol because they nominated Freedom as a charity of choice for this year.
Oh, amazing. Oh. That's brilliant. Yeah. Yeah.
Well done, Sing Out.
So how did you discover Freedom Youth, if you don't mind me asking?
I discovered Freedom Youth, I think it was through the Bristol Wellbeing Therapies. So that's the service that GPs can refer you through.
Right.
Through the mental health, and then that goes to Off the Record for 25s and under. And they linked me to Freedom Youth. And I heard about it and started to get involved.
Was it a bit nerve-wracking going along first time?
It was the first time, and it took a little while to get into it. But once I did, it's just awesome and it's natural.
They wouldn't miss it for the world.
No. So, it's awesome.
It is weekly still, isn't it? Is it weekly?
The first and third. For the older group, it's the first and third Wednesday of every month. And I think for the younger group, it's the same, but on a Tuesday, I think.
Yeah, so it's weekly. And we kind of talk to people about the location when they contact us.
Yeah, I was going to say, we don't tend to give that out. So, I mean, we will give out some details of how they can get in contact with you later on. So,
Henry, can I just... sorry, Andy. On a more serious point, it was mentioned about mental illness and obviously there's gender-fluid kids that come through it. Are GPs and the medical profession still classifying gender dysphoria as a mental illness, or have people got past that now?
So, importantly, it's Mental Health Awareness Week this week, so it's really important that we keep talking about mental health and wellbeing. In response to your question, in terms of gender identity, as it currently stands, it is listed in the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual. But what's a big piece of work that activists are doing is kind of thinking about and talking about how gender identity can be outside of kind of a medicalised perspective, and that actually gender should just be seen as part of somebody's identity. So kind of that's what a lot of kind of trans activists are working on at this point in time. In terms of the work that we're doing in Bristol and South Gloucestershire, we go out and deliver training around gender and sexuality to GPs, to loads of different organisations to kind of upskill their knowledge.
Oh, right. I didn't realise that you were actually going out and talking to GPs. Well, that's brilliant news. Mm. So, what about yourself? How long have you been with Freedom Youth?
Well, I started over a year ago when it was like all ages.
Right.
But because I'm a bit older, I found it a bit awkward. So I left it for a while. And then...
So you're back in the older...
Yeah, so I came back to it. But, yeah, it's really easy to, like, access. Like, I think someone, like, told me about one of the youth workers and I was really, really anxious about going.
Right.
Because you're sort of, like, self-disclosing. So it's quite, like, scary. But we, like, talked a bit through Facebook and then she met me there and, like, she made sure that I was okay, it's always great because like Henry and the other youth workers like are always there if you need a chat or like if you need some time to yourself. It's so like laid back. Like they have, they usually each time have like a visitor, so you can either do something with the visitor or go off and do colouring or just do what you want. Like everyone is so understanding. Like there's no expectations. It's a good feeling to be there. Such a good vibe. It's very welcoming and warm and. Yeah, I'm really glad I came back. It took me quite a few tries, but like Henry supported me, encouraged me, and I'm really happy, and now I'm here as well. So
oh, that's good.
It's been brilliant.
And now you're on the radio too.
Yeah, so it's been quite a journey, and yeah, it's been amazing. I'm really glad.
So I mean, the reason I'm asking you, because you are the people at the moment who are using it as a service, and as we all know, funding's getting cut left, right and centre, so it's quite often important to let other people know why we need these services. I mean, would all of you say it has had a seriously positive effect in helping you?
Definitely.
Without doubt.
So, I mean, are there any particular examples? Was it something that Freedom has helped you overcome? Has it given you more confidence out there in the rest of the world, for example? Or, I mean, what would you say?
Well, when I first came to Freedom, I literally hobbled in on crutches. So, I mean, that wasn't fun. I wasn't very confident in a lot of things, and Freedom was definitely something that I could look forward to in a week, and it definitely gave me something to look forward to in just life.
So
you know?
Are you all also friends away from Freedom then? Do you meet up away and like go for a coffee, or those of you older, maybe a beer? I don't know how old you are. I haven't asked you, but...
I'm 14.
You're 14, yeah. You should be drinking beer.
Coffee's fun.
Coffee's beer, no.
So, but are you friends with some of them away from the group, or is it mainly when you're at Freedom that you will meet up? Or
I have made some very strong friends outside of Freedom. But we don't go for a beer.
No, not at 14, I hope you don't.
Definitely not endorsing that.
No. A lot of us do meet up and do other things. It's it's helped me meet a lot of people, and we've done cool things. Meeting other people like you, it's really fun because you won't necessarily meet other people at other groups and things.
Well, it's always lovely having you in the show. It's always a really fun. It makes me feel very old, I have to admit. But it's always lovely to talk to you. So what are you up to? I know that we've got Ida Hobbit Day, International Day Against Homophobia, Biphobia and Transphobia. Am I saying that
right? Intersexphobia as well.
Yeah. That's next... Is it this weekend? I think it's this weekend, isn't it? It's coming up very soon anyway.
Is it the 17th?
It's so next week.
When next week. Cool. Yeah. We're doing stuff on the show next week, but what are you guys up to for it? Have you got anything planned? Or?
So we're supporting Mitch from Shout Out is doing a walk around College Green on Wednesday, on the kind of doing a mile in their shoes.
Right.
We're also contributing to the campaign around the Chechnya 100. So we're raising awareness around that. We've got a group meeting on in the evening, and we're kind of creating lots of kind of arts, crafts. We're going to be putting out lots of really positive messages around identity. So kind of lots of social action, lots of kind of online campaigning, and kind of getting people talking about Ida Hobbit and why it's really important.
That's
why I love Freedom and like Off the Record in general, because you're doing something constructive with the pain and stuff you've been through. So you turn it into something positive, and it's very empowering. And to be around other people who feel the same way, which is, I'm from like a small Welsh town, so you don't seem like everyone's in their own little bubbles, don't really care about much. Not everyone, but it's nice to meet other people who actually care about things.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
And finally, are you all doing Pride this year?
Absolutely.
I think so.
Multiple prides. Like, as many prides as
you do. Are you doing a pride tour, are you?
Yes.
This is true. I found there was a list showing all the prides around the UK. And
there's
the
a lot now.
Just try and take off as many as you can in one year.
London Pride and Bristol Pride are on the same day, it genuinely upsets me. Like, I'm having a moral dilemma of which pride to go to, which is something I never thought
Have
I would.
Have you done London Pride yet, though?
No, I haven't done
the Bristol one, haven't
I've done Bristol Pride, but I haven't done London Pride, and I'm like...
I think that's your answer. Phoenix.
Yeah, but it's like I want to be in Bristol and supporting all the people that I know and love, but London Pride and
it's a lot
the Skittles campaign. Have you heard about the Skittles campaign?
No.
So basically what Skittles did was they gave up their rainbow for Pride. So the packaging was completely plain, and all of the Skittles were completely plain because they're I think their slogan, and don't quote me on this, I don't think this is exact, the only rainbow that should matter during Pride is yours. So Skittles gave up their rainbow.
It's very nice. Yeah.
It's very cute.
It is.
And they put the rainbow on the side of a Route Master as well in London.
So we had a rainbow coloured police car at Pride last year. It was brilliant.
Well, it's still in the garage.
Is
it's
it?
Coming
I
out
bet,
this
yeah,
year.
It'll be there, won't it? So, yeah. Now, listen,
a
we're
lot of
rapidly
coming out
Pride. We're rapidly running out of time. But we're one of you. I don't know if this should be you or not, Henry. But if other people are listening and going, actually, I might fancy coming along and seeing what these people get up to at Freedom Youth. How do they get in contact with you so that they can do that?
Definitely. So it'd be really great. They can follow us on social media. We're Freedom Youth LGBTQ. Freedomyouth.co.uk. You can go on the otrbristol.org.uk website. Give us a call on 0808 808 9120. Or just give us a Google, Freedom Youth Bristol. And we've been posting on the shout out kind of Twitter and Facebook pages as well. So link
cool.
to us on
that'll be on my phone is vibrating on my side, I'm sure.
That's me on Twitter.
So listen, it's been lovely to catch up with you all. I know it's a more serious thing, but I hope it goes well with the Ida Hobbit stuff you're doing, and enjoy Pride as well. And I know I was talking to Henry before the show. Hopefully we're actually going to come and join you guys for one of your meetings, and we're going to do something that I did I think probably before your time, but we actually made a advert for you for the radio live at Freedom Youth. So we're going to try and get some of us along from Shout Out to do that with you. So
that'll be fun. Ooh, that'll be very, very fun.
Anyway, as always, we will make sure that we post all the details up on our website as well. So if you are listening and you do want to get in touch with them and go along and have some fun, do check it out. But for now, though, stay with us. You're listening to Shout Out,
the Shout Out podcast.
That's another one from a kind of around that kind of time. I think it was a little bit later. That's Sash and Stage. Remember that one?
According to the script, it says Shash.
Oh, does it?
Shasha.
Spelling mistake.
I remember.
You're not supposed to read out spelling mistakes.
I remember bopping to this one.
Is that a Sash window?
A lovely song, that one. So.
It is. Really good.
Sorry, Guy, you just joined. We're kind of doing a bit of a... Well, that's not Robert Miles, but we're doing a Robert Miles kind of tribute. We played one-on-one earlier, and we're going to play Children
Yeah,
later,
a bit of a trancy-dancy kind of tribute, yeah.
But in the meantime, Natalie and Terry are here.
Hello.
Shall we get some news headlines?
You're more than welcome.
This is Shoutout News on Thursday, the 11th of May, 2017.
Sky News reported on Saturday that President Putin of Russia is to speak to the Interior Minister and Russia's human rights specialist over the disappearance, torture and illegal detention of gay and gender non-conformist men in the extremely conservative region of Chechnya. Pressure on President Putin to intervene in the issue has been growing in recent weeks, with the German Chancellor Angela Merkel challenging him to do something about the reports of abuse and murder. Not all observers are convinced that Mr. Putin's investigations will be systematic or rigorous enough. The dissident radio station Radio Free Europe pointed out that previously the president had expressed doubts that the torture was even taking place.
Chelsea Manning has been hailed as a hero of the post 9/11 world by the radical pacifist network Catholic Worker. Writing in the spring issue of the newspaper of the London Catholic Worker, Joe Glenton hails Manning's rebellion in the US military, saying, "For the woken soldiers of the post 9/11 generation, the ones who have recovered from the fantasy that we fought in just wars, or that our only obligation was to our conniving leaders, Chelsea Manning represents the best of us." The Catholic Workers are a unique organisation representing a form of Christian anarchist socialism. They are known for their work with the poor and destitute and are broadly welcoming of gay, bi and transgender people.
BBC News reports that people with HIV now live on average 20 years longer than in 1996, confirming what HIV campaigners have long stated, namely that with the correct treatment, people with HIV can enjoy a normal lifespan.
It has long been the contention of LGBT activists that anti-gay fundamentalists are dangerous and psychopathic. Well, in London this week, it emerged that one of the city's most notorious anti-gay preachers, Daniel Erickson Hall, is actually a criminal who makes indecent pictures of vulnerable children. Gay newswire Pink News explained that the 41-year-old, whose internet rants accused LGBT people of forcing filth on the young, was in actual fact a real danger to children. Erickson Hall has been sentenced to 15 months behind bars for making indecent images of young people. A spokesperson for the NSPCC said, "This pastor's crimes have helped fuel the vile trade in indecent images of children. It is right that he face the courts for his crimes."
No, we like our history on this programme, and the story of community and alternative radio in the UK is a romantic one. The origins of today's LGBT community radio projects really start in the 1980s, when the British government totally lost control of the airwaves to radio from overseas, from ships anchored in the North Sea, and from land-based pirate stations. A new book by broadcasting historian Stephen Hebdick relive some of these most exciting days. The book, called Pirate Radio Dispatches from 80s London, looks at the wide variety of alternative radio in this period, including the origins of Kiss FM, which today is a very popular gay-friendly destination for dance music, but in 1986 was an illegal bedsit-based operation. Greek, Turkish, gay, heavy metal and handbag house are just some of the genres that appeared on the illegal airwaves and are documented in the book. Meanwhile, our own Steffi and Terry are planning a special documentary for BCFM to mark the 50th anniversary of the late 1960s anti-pirate radio laws. Their show is scheduled to go out in August.
Tom Daly, the popular diver and more recently television personality, has married his boyfriend Dustin Lance Black at a private ceremony in the beautiful Bovey Castle Hotel in Dartmoor, according to the BBC. 22-year-old Mr. Daly won bronze medals at the Olympic Games in London and Rio de Janeiro. Mr. Daly has been out since 2013, and we wish the couple the very best of luck and our congratulations on their nuptials.
Media website Digital Spy reports that gay pop star Will Young will be back on primetime television soon when he has coaching duties on the BBC One programme Pitch Battle, in which a cappella groups go head-to-head to be named the best voice performers in the country. Khalees, a former headline act at Bristol Pride, will be on judging duty, as will the disco sensation Chaka Khan.
If you're a fan of soul and disco music, that quintessential soundtrack to the gay 70s, then you might like to know that Bristol Soul Train Radio, which has been streaming online from studios in the gay village of Old Market for the last year or so, is expanding. The station has announced plans to join the local digital radio platform this autumn, which means that it will be available across the West Country on DAB. We wish our colleagues over at Soul Train all the best with their new endeavour.
For these new stories and more, visit our website at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
For Shoutout News, this has been Natalie.
And Terry Starr.
Shoutout News.
National and international LGBT news for you.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
It doesn't really need any introduction, that one, does it? That's Robert Miles, yeah, and
we
the
all had our
children.
Hands in the air.
Yeah. So a very big loss to the music community.
Yes, it was. He was only 47, wasn't
yeah.
he?
So.
Yeah, yeah, so one of the pioneers of what we now call trance, which is hugely successful on the LGBT scene.
Dream something rather that they called
yeah,
it.
Yeah, the BBC said it was called Dream Dance originally, and then it became evolved into trance.
Yeah,
it's a real genre set on that one.
Yeah,
so. Right, we're on to part four of Ella's history.
Hello, Ella.
LGBT plus community. And
hello.
So far, we've been riveted to the spot.
I never ever knew there was so much queer history going on. This.
There really is.
Yeah. I guess
all of
since
your favourites
humanity.
Are queer.
we are actually still planning to do one of our After Darks as a special
yes.
on it, aren't we? That's kind of in the planning at the moment, so that'll probably come later on this year. So, but who are we talking about today?
Today we're going to talk about Greek mythology and more specifically Greek gods, because most people are familiar with some Greek gods. Zeus, the big lightning guy, you probably know of.
Yes.
Aphrodite or Venus, the goddess of love, you probably know her.
Well, of course, the Percy Jackson films.
I love Percy Jackson.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that's how a lot of people that didn't know about the Greek gods know about them again today. So, carry on.
Thank you very much, Andy. I shall take some to say.
It's good sometimes, isn't
it? Not with Ella, you can't get words in edgeways.
Oh, wow.
I mean, to be fair, I had that one coming from last week.
I got some gaffer tape off Chuck.
So we did have some lovely feedback about our conversations last week.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it was very entertaining listening to it. So. How do we get from Greek gods to LGBT stuff?
Well,
don't tell me Zeus was gay.
Zeus was pansexual.
Oh.
Yep. So basically, traditionally, most people know the Greek Empire was fantastically queer, and its pantheon of gods was similarly so. However, specifically, there are a couple of really nice stories that I like that I feel like people don't talk about enough.
Right.
Transgender love stories, for example, in which people undergo an actual sex change in order to live in the identity they believe that they are, is one that I don't think we talk about very much. We've got
Talking in Greek times, though. Yep. I mean, did they have the medical technology back then to do that, or was it
so this is a mythological story. So right. A goddess turns someone who was assigned female at birth into a man, but that person was raised as a man, believes themselves to be a man, falls in love with a woman. The woman doesn't know that they are assigned female, and on the night of their wedding, they're freaking out because they're like, I don't know what I'm going to do about this. I don't know how I feel about being in love with someone. I don't know how I feel about my gender. I don't know what to do. And the goddess Isis, who is actually an Egyptian goddess, grants Iphis is his name, Iphis's wish, and turns him into a man on his wedding night, and he lives very happily with the great love of his life, Ianthe.
Yeah.
It's in Ovid's Metamorphoses.
Yeah.
You never knew that one.
Did the god make it a pretend transformation in the first place then, if it wasn't till the wedding night that it was discovered?
So what happened was, as you might know, Greece was a pretty sexist patriarchal empire, and in the story, Telethusa, who is Iphis's mother, is told by her husband that if she doesn't give birth to a boy, then he's gonna kill the baby or abandon it. And so she raises her child, who was assigned female, as a man. And her child kind of thinks that he is a man, and then starts like learning more about bodies and stuff. It gets very confused and grows up with Ianthe and falls in love with Ianthe. And they're very much, they're in love from childhood. And then gets to this big crisis when he's like late teens, early 20s, where he's supposed to be getting married. His mother keeps putting off the wedding because she's freaking out, because she's like, someone's going to have, you know, intimate relations with you and is going to find out that you were assigned female. And then, a goddess intercedes and makes it so.
This is one of the things I love about Ella's storytelling. It would only be someone as young as Ella that would say freaking out while talking about Greek gods and mothers.
I could have done with one of them gods or goddesses doing that when I was four.
I know. But you know what, Steffi? One of the things I love about this is that, according to Ovid, transgender identities are divinely approved. And that's pretty cool. And on top of that, by the way, just to mention, there is a god for intersex people, a god of intersexuality who is intersex themselves. They're called Hermaphroditus. And depending on which myth you take, they were either born intersex or they became intersex when the child of Hermes, the god of thieves and messengers, has an illicit liaison with Aphrodite, the goddess of love, and they have their child Hermaphroditus. And a nymph, a water nymph called Salmasis, falls so in love with Hermaphroditus that she clasps him at the time, and she begs the gods for them to be together forever, and the gods decide to make two genders into one body. And so Hermaphroditus becomes the god of intersexuality.
What
and
a lovely story.
Yeah,
that's
I like
a really
it.
Really nice myth, isn't it?
I think that's quite a beautiful one.
Yeah.
So
is this something that we've actually found documented then?
Because yeah, we've got statues of Hermaphroditus.
Have we? Wow.
Yeah, with breasts and a penis.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I mean, Hermaphroditus is like repeatedly referred to, yeah. Then we've got Ganymede, who was the male lover of Zeus. Zeus, who was married to Hera, so is hella pansexual. And a lot of the gods in the pantheon are hella pansexual. Yeah, well, they are. I mean, so
What's hella pansexual, do you tell me?
I mean, it's what Zeus does.
Right.
Yeah, so basically Zeus sees this beautiful, beautiful Trojan man called Ganymede and falls so in love with him that he makes this man a god so that he can eternally be his lover, basically.
You don't see any of this in the movies.
No, they could do with putting a bit of this in Percy
Jackson. I didn't
see
any of that Jason and the Argonauts.
They might have to give him a different rating, wouldn't they?
But you know what? Actually, you will see it in paintings. If you ever see a young, beautiful man holding a cup next to Zeus, he is quite literally the god of homosexuality, Ganymede, and the lover of Zeus. So if you go into some fancy museum or church, you will see a painting of Zeus's male lover.
Because was it so far back in history that it didn't suffer that we tried to cover it up because of our own beliefs throughout the centuries?
Not exactly. It's a slightly different situation. So I really want to mention lesbian myths as well, because I feel like, it, especially in Greek myths, we tend to focus on things like Achilles and Patroclus, whose love story is beautiful and phenomenal and one of the greatest love stories of all time. But we don't think so much about women. And part of that is because in the Greek Empire, male... homosexual love was seen as kind of, it served a political and social function, so it was quite venerated. And there was specifically this kind of gay love that was really admired and respected, where you had an older gay man and a younger, more inexperienced gay man, and the older one would be like his tutor kind of thing, and then would help him with social and political like ambition and hierarchies and stuff. So in that way, it was viewed differently. Love between women, it's slightly more difficult. Lots of people think that it didn't really happen, but then we have Sappho, famously a very, 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 very gay woman, who wrote odes to Aphrodite and talked a lot about stuff. And we also have vases of women having sexual relations with each other. We have Artemis and Callisto. Callisto was a woman loved by Zeus, and in a Greek comedy play, Zeus pretends to be Artemis naked in a bath in order to seduce Callisto, because it's the only way to make her have sex with him. And then Artemis makes her into Ursa Major, the constellation. We have Athena and Myrmex. So that's the discovery of the plough. Athena, Myrmex was beloved of Athena, the goddess of war and wisdom. And Myrmex was this beautiful maiden in whom Athena confided her inventions and her secret knowledge. But Myrmex decided to share with us how to make the plough, which feels appropriately gay. And Athena was so betrayed that she turned Myrmex into an ant. But Myrmex's descendants became the Myrmidons, who were turned from ants into soldiers by Zeus and fought in the Trojan War.
So I always thought that a lot of the myths were based in things that actually happened at the time. It was just a lack of understanding of things that are going on. But some of it does sound a little bit over-exaggerated, especially where it's gods doing things like turning people into ants and the like. I mean,
oh, well, yeah. I mean, but, you know, a pantheon is always going to be a reflection of the social reality, right? And that's part of why I'm bringing this into a history slot and not a theology slot.
Because, well, yes.
Historically, the gods were real to people, and historically, people emulated the gods. They wanted to act like the gods. So if Artemis was in love with a woman called Callisto and you were a follower of Artemis, then you might look at women differently. If Zeus had a male lover Ganymede, then it's totally okay for you to have a male lover because Zeus does it. You know, when you have to think about the fact that gods not only set precedents, but they also reflected the psychological reality of that point in history. They reflected people's ambitions and their loves and their desires and their fears and their anxieties. So maybe you're not going to get turned into an ant, but maybe you are afraid that if you have a liaison with a woman and it's a little bit maybe under the covers, and then you share with her your secrets, she might use them and take them for her own and leave you and betray you.
Mm. So you're saying that the gods were a reflection of Greek society, as in the sex and the homosexuality, the lesbianism that was going on?
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, Sappho was definitely gay, and she was a real person. Achilles and Patroclus were not real people, but Homer was a real person, and so was Alexander the Great, and they were both bisexual slash gay, and wrote about bisexual slash gay love.
It's a completely different time to live in.
Yeah.
With it being so okay and so open. It's
before you were born, Andy.
Before you were born, which is a miracle.
A different kind of world. Oh, my gosh.
Sorry.
It's 65,000 listeners just went...
Do you know what? Steffi, if you were a god, would Andy be an ant right now?
Yeah, probably. I'd be a lot worse than an ant, though.
It'd be a very crushed ant as well.
And I also want to mention that we have legal cases in the Greek Empire of, for example, people who are intersex, who are known to be intersex, and one person who was living as a man, as a doctor, and it was revealed that they didn't have a penis, and they went to a trial, and the trial conclusion was basically, which gender do you want to be? And the person said, I want to be a man, because I'm a man. And they said, okay, you're legally a man. And that was the end of that.
Oh.
Which is how it kind of should be now, really.
Well, you'd thunk.
But it's a very different world, of course, because all the major civilizations were what we today class as pagan civilizations, with a big pantheon of gods, with lots and lots of different mythologies around them. It's only later, when the Roman Empire adopts a monotheistic kind of religion, that the sort of oppression of gender and sexual minorities really begins to sort of get entrenched, I think.
Yeah,
they were very intelligent people, weren't they? But going back to the time of Greek gods and the like, I mean, they built some amazing
foundation
places.
Foundation of democracy, yeah.
Didn't they discover things like the the predecessor to paper that they wrote on papyrus.
Papyrus. Yeah. I think that might have been the Egyptians.
I think it's Egyptian.
But one cool thing that the Greeks did, as well as democracy, which is a good one, Terry, but is the golden section, which we see in the Parthenon, which is foundational to architecture and also pretty much all Renaissance painting or Renaissance painting. The Greeks were a great deal of fun. Medicine, modern medicine, starts in Greece. Think. I wanted to say
philosophy, politics, cult, a lot of foundations of Western cultural.
And we
thought.
Build a lot of our poetry and mythology and storytelling and novels and psychology on what the Greeks were doing, and that's really exciting. I also want to mention that it was really like religious reforms in the 1800s and a really strict crackdown on gender and sexuality and also socioeconomic class that led to a lot of the prejudices and ideas that we have about gender today. It's really, on a historical timescale, very, very modern to think about gender and sexuality in the way that we do. That's not to say that people didn't experience prejudice. They did. But the way we think about things is a very strict binary, is something that is very much always heterosexual and opposite and needs to follow certain rules. That's an 1800s thing.
Yeah, we lock our boxes far too much still, don't we? So. And it's really not like that. So it's fascinating. I didn't know Zeus had a boyfriend.
Ganymede, yeah, really pretty.
I think that's one of my favourites I've heard so far.
And the largest moon in the solar system is Ganymede, because obviously the planets and the planets and moon, they all have their roots in mythology. That's where we get the names from. And Ganymede is the largest moon in the solar system, orbiting Jupiter.
Jupiter is the other name for Zeus. Sorry,
is it?
So it rather fits. It's rather romantic.
Ella performed all this without a safety net. Not once did Ella refer to a script.
It's fantastic.
Just direct from her mouth to your ears.
But this is why we love Ella so much. I mean, but this is, we should say, this is one of your hobbies, isn't it? This kind of level of research. I mean, you absolutely love. I can see totally the appeal, because it's just, you start talking about subjects and it's just fascinating. You really do kind of, get really into them, don't you? It's still. Anyway, your turn.
Yes, it is. That's it for this week. Remember, though, if you're interested in Freedom Youth, we put all the links on the website.
Shoutout Radio is where you want to head. Shoutoutradio.lgbt is where you want to head. But don't forget, you can also subscribe to our podcast on things like iTunes and other services.
Next week, Noah Can't Even.
Author Simon Green will be talking to us. But from myself and the rest of the team and the Greek gods, say bye-bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.